Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Brandon Lindell, Senior Associate Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you for a few moments from the subject, where you are. Where you are. Have you ever been like in such a tight relationship with somebody? Anybody an identical twin in the house tonight? You're like, I'm an identical twin. Anybody? Not a single one. It's amazing. Wait, do you see a hand over there? Right there, identical twin. All right. You're like, you get in step. Do you ever repeat sentences with each other? Nope, never. Wow. That's great for the illustration. Fantastic. You're a friend. You're a real friend. No, but you know what I mean? Like you have a sibling or a best friend or maybe you've been married like for 50 years and you're like, you know, we just finish each other's sentences. We're like right in step with each other. And that's a lot of fun when you're in that, maybe you're on a trip or maybe you're like going out on a date and you're like, man, we are just like right in the zone. And, or if you ever experienced the opposite, and you're just off, you ever have an off day and you're like, everything that's happening today is off, all right? Everything's off, you know, like you couldn't say the right thing. You like, you know, you walk into your room and you're happy and everybody's crying and you're like, oh, sorry, I'm sorry, wrong room. You know, you walk into your room and you're crying and everybody's like, oh, you just ruined the mood. You know, I don't know if you ever had that off day. There's something, you know, when it comes to being in step and in sync, you know, we can be in step, we can be in sync with what God's doing. And that comes with just like what we were talking about with time in his presence, time of just being with God. And when we are in his presence and we get in sync with him, then our heart begins to reflect his heart. But we can be mistaken if we're a believer and we think I'm in step with the heart of God, but yet we're not passionate about one of the main things he's passionate about. God is passionate about his glory. God is passionate about exalting through the Holy Spirit, the name of Jesus Christ, but he's very passionate about the lost. You can't read the Gospels and not get a picture of a God who is absolutely just obsessed with people who are lost coming to know him. In fact, Luke chapter 15, we hear, you know, you know the story of the lost coin and the prodigal son and all of those pictures of this is God's heart for lost people. So if we have his heart, then we reflect that heart for lost people, a passion for lost people. That if we have a heart for God, we're going to be having a heart for people who don't know Jesus. And I love the Gospel of John. Many of you probably heard the story of the woman at the well. Some of you may not, and you can take time to read it. Sometime it's in John chapter 4. It's a great story where Jesus is actually, he meets this woman. His disciples go off to get something to eat because they're all tired and they're all hungry. And Jesus is tired and hungry and he sits down and he has this conversation with a woman. And that would have been very unusual in that day because you know, especially a rabbi, a teacher talking to a woman, and this woman happened to be a Samaritan, so there was also a race issue at play there where, you know, you didn't talk to Samaritans, you didn't talk to women, and not in that kind of context anyway. And Jesus is doing this, and he has this conversation with this woman, and he basically tells her, like, stuff about her that only you could know if God told you that, or if you were God, in this case, Jesus. And then she has this encounter with Jesus. He tells her those things. They have a little bit of a theological conversation. But in this encounter, she, like, her eyes are opened to the fact that this is the Messiah. Like, this is who we've been waiting for. And it literally changes her life. And so we get a glimpse into God's heart for lost people in the aftermath of that situation, because the disciples come up and they're hungry and they're tired. And so they got their kind of mind on other things, you know. They're doing life and they're like, you know what? Ministry's been great, but it's time to eat some Zaxby's chicken or whatever your fast food choices, and that's what they had, and they brought it up, and they come up to Jesus, and he's talking to this woman, and that's where we pick it up in John chapter 4. I'm going to put it on the screen. It says, just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to a woman. I love this, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her, or why are you talking to her? And I think that's funny, because they're like, this is strange, but okay. We're just gonna leave this alone, Jesus. You can do whatever you want, you're Jesus. And so the woman left with her jar. She leaves her jar beside the well, and she runs back to the village telling everyone, come and see the man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people start to come. These people, the village is right there by the well. And so they start streaming out of the village to come see Jesus. And all the while, the disciples are just thinking like, okay, awesome. Wherever Jesus goes, people are gathering, and that's great, but we're really hungry. And so meanwhile, the disciples are urging him like, hey, can we sit down and eat? They're saying, Rabbi, can you eat something? And Jesus replied, I have a kind of food that you know nothing about. Don't you love Jesus? You're like, they're probably like about to bite into their chicken, and they're like, hey, Jesus, you want something? He's like, I have food you know nothing about. And they're like, and so they're kind of like a little confused, and they're like, did someone bring him food while we were gone? Like, did that girl who just, she bring him? They're thinking like, you know, like that. And they're a little confused. And Jesus is wanting to throw them off a little bit. So he says this, Jesus explained, my nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up and look around. The fields are ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know the saying, one plants and one harvests, and it's true. I sent you to harvest where you didn't plant. Others have already done the work, and now you'll get to gather the harvest. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. And when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in the village. So he stayed 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. And they said to the woman, now we believe not just because of what you told us, but because we've heard him ourselves. And we know he is indeed the Savior of the world. And so you got this beautiful picture of Jesus reaching out to a person and taking a moment when there could have been distraction and saying, you know what, this is really important. And then teaching his disciples, why in this moment when we got other things going on, would I stop and do this? And I think this is really good for us as we're in this context tonight, a prayer meeting, because honestly, as believers, we desperately need to have a heart for lost people. We desperately need to get God's heart for the lost. The people in our world that don't know Jesus, the people in our neighborhood that don't know Jesus. And I think the question we can ask is like, how do I get that? Like, that's okay, that's good, I want that. How does that happen? And I it's true, we should pray for the lost people in our world, and we're going to do that, and that makes a difference. But it goes deeper than just saying, okay, I'm gonna just pray for people that are lost. Because in order to get a heart for the lost, then we have to have our heart change towards the lost to reflect God's heart. And Jesus gives us some great insight into how that happens. And he really does it. I mean, there's a lot of food in this passage. I don't know if you noticed that, but a lot of food in this passage. And I love food. And I especially appreciate Thanksgiving. I'm excited about Thanksgiving. Anybody with me on that Thanksgiving? Now, how many of you, when you go into Thanksgiving, you strategically plan to be extra hungry before that meal? You're like, this is gonna be a good one, and I'm gonna make sure I'm hungry. That is no problem in our family, because we do a family gathering every Thanksgiving, and we arrive at like noon, and we never eat till like 9:30 at night. It's just like, I don't know if anybody else's family's like that. It's like, there's like some celery in the corner, and we're all dying, you know, while we're waiting for the food to be done. And then when it comes to Thanksgiving, like, I'll actually, you know, anybody save room, you know, you save room for the things, there's particular things that I want to eat on Thanksgiving, and they're priorities to me. Dark meat is definitely a priority for me. Mashed potatoes with brown gravy. I was talking to David about cranberry sauce earlier this afternoon and how much I love cranberry sauce. I love stuffing that's been cooked inside the bird. I know that's weird. Apparently people don't do that. I do that. It's great. You should try it. I love pumpkin pie and custard pie. Any pie with custard, so good. But anyway, you save room, you know, for you're a little selective on some of the things you want. I've noticed when I'm hungry that I'm just a little bit, anybody get hangry? Like, I get a little hangry. I pass that on to my son. I'm a little more aggressive. And I look, I'm a little bit more like looking around, like to make sure people don't take certain kinds of food and that kind of thing. I know I got issues. Like, I can feel it in the room. It's like, but that type of hunger, and there's a lot of food in this passage because Jesus is really drawing a picture between physical hunger and then in that satisfaction that happens through physical hunger and what can happen when we're hungry for the right things. Because honestly, it's not just a goals problem if you're not reaching people, and it's not just a satisfaction problem. It's actually a hunger problem if you're not reaching people. Because hunger automatically produces passion, doesn't it? If you're hungry for something, you're like, I am passionate about getting in line for this buffet because I'm starving, all right? You know, or whatever that is, like it automatically gives you a drive and a passion if you're hungry for the right things. And Jesus is saying, you know what? You see that hunger that you have for that food, like I actually have, like I'm satisfied right now because I have something that you don't even know about. Like I have something that is a, like it drives me beyond the physical needs that I have. And if you don't make it about and you don't go back to the heart issue and the passion issue of it, then it can become about the do really quickly and just doing. So you walk out of this and you're like, yes, I need to reach more people and I'm gonna get out there and do it. But the problem with that is if you're talking to people and you don't really reflect the heart of God, then it becomes something like people can sense that they're like, they're a checkbox on your list. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, you know, I'm out there reaching people, you know? And you don't want to be that kind of person. But people can actually tell if you care about them. And you reflect the heart of God when you care about them. And I love what Jesus says. He says, my food is doing the will of him who sent me. My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me. And what he's saying is, you notice there is a do in there, but it's connected to the will of God. I thought it was really cool that we sang Heart of God before in the context tonight. And I didn't know we were gonna be singing that, but I think that really illustrates, like, your mercy triumphs over judgment. What is the will of God? God's will is all would come to repentance. God's heart is for people. God's will is that people would come to know him, that they'd have a relationship with him. And really, that doing the will, it's all birthed out of relationship. So if you want to be effective at reaching people, you have to be effective in your relationship with God. And if you want to be effective in your relationship with God, you got to spend time with God, just like any other relationship. You want to be in sync. That's why we sing like Where You Are, because if we're where God is, then we'll be passionate for people. If we're where God is, we'll be passionate for people. You know, I feel like we are saving room for something, just like you save for room for where you're eating. And the disciples, you know, if we're driven by our own desires, we can find ourselves being like living out of that tiredness or out of whatever that is, whatever that desire is at the time. And we're actually saving room for the things that are our priorities. And if we're not in sync with God, those things maybe won't satisfy spiritually. And I know that's kind of an abstract thought, but you think of the disciples in this moment, they're saving room for eating food and resting, all right? And Jesus is like, I have food that you don't know about. Like, I'm not even hungry right now. And they're like, I thought you were hungry. He's like, no, I'm not hungry because I'm focused on something else. I'm really focused on, I really want to do God's will. Like God's heart, God's presence is here. I want to be a part of that. And I'm saving room for that. Like, I want, that's where I want my focus to be. And when we do that, God really works in those moments in a powerful way. You know, I was thinking as, you know, just think about this passage. The more you walk close to God, the more your priorities change to be in line with his purpose and his plan. You know, John chapter 15, verse 10 says it like this. Jesus says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey the Father's commandments and remain in his love. What he's saying is, you're gonna love like I love when you're obeying my commandments, and you're gonna obey my commandments when you're walking close to me. You know, oftentimes people can misinterpret this and be like, okay, so if I don't obey God's commandments, I guess he doesn't love me anymore. And it's not like that. It's like, no, as you're walking with God, you automatically want to do what God wants you to do. And you obey his commandments. Your priorities align with his priorities. And that's exactly how it is when it comes to the heart of God. You know, if you sense like a block or a dryness in your walk with God, it may be because you're just not on the same page with him. It's not, God's not mad at you or not against you, but you're trying to make other priorities happen. And God's like, you're missing, I'm over here. You know, like the disciples, they're wanting to get Jesus to eat. And Jesus is like, you guys are thinking about something completely different than what I'm thinking about, right? And if you're sensing like, man, I feel like a dryness in my walk with God, it may be just because your priorities are just a little bit off. And you just need to spend time in his presence to get your priorities back online. And God, that changes your heart. And so as we're in the presence of the Lord, as you're thinking about lost people, yes, we need to have a desperation for the lost. But as you're in the presence of the Lord, you're in God's presence to say, God, I wanna be in your presence because I want your heart. I wanna see people the way you see them. God, I wanna be a part of what you're doing. God allows you to be that. Secondly, we need to recognize, Jesus says, you say there's 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say to you, wake up and look around. The fields are ripe with harvest. So in the Bible, when the Bible talks about sight or waking up, sleeping, it's talking about spiritually how that works. It's saying that, you know, when it's saying, hey, you're asleep or you're blind, it's saying not that you're physically blind or that you're physically sleeping. It wasn't like he was telling them to wake up. And that may seem obvious, but for you and I, as we're applying this passage to our own life, and Jesus is telling you, wake up and lift up your eyes and see that the fields are ripe with harvest, what he's saying is, this is a spiritual sight problem. If you can't see lost people or you don't care about them, then you have a spiritual sight problem. And that means that you need a spiritual solution. That means that you need to pray that God would touch your eyes, that you would see. Lord, help me to see what you're doing in this person's life. Help me to see what you're saying about that person. Help me to see, God, where this desperate situation is in this person's life, because I have a spiritual sight problem. And Jesus says, you know what? I have food. My drive is to do the will of God. And when I do that, God changes my heart and I see people differently. Like I see these people coming down and I see, man, I see like this harvest right before me. Like I got to do something about this. You know, when we were growing up, we'd go out to Colorado and they would be harvest time for corn. And it was like corn freezing time. We'd freeze corn in, we'd be part of the shucking of corn process. Apparently I was very much involved in that process as a farm kid. Not really, that was my dad. But we were part of the shucking and part of the freezing of corn. And I'll tell you, like, harvest is a lot of work. You know, because you have to do something in order to capitalize on what's happening. And when Jesus is saying there's a harvest, he's saying that there's a benefit that's coming, but you have to be able to see it. I mean, could you imagine if you didn't, like, you planted everything and you took care of all the plants and then harvest came and you couldn't even see the harvest, or you didn't even care that there was a harvest, the harvest would go bad. Like, you wouldn't be a part of the reaping and the benefit of that. And Jesus is saying, with people around in our world, there's a harvest out there that we can be a part of, but you have to see it. And if we reflect God's heart, we see what he's doing. But we have to recognize, we have to lift up our eyes, and that's a spiritual thing that's happening. And then finally, he says there's a reward. The harvesters are paid good wages. The fruit of the harvest is people brought to eternal life. What joy for both the planter and the harvester alike. And I love the bottom part that says, and now you will get to gather the harvest. You know, I think when it comes to seeing and getting the heart of God, like, that's what we desperately need. That honestly only comes in his presence. And us saying, God, I recognize there's a problem. Lord, I want to have your heart. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to see what you see. And that, like, that's why, like, prayer meetings are so great and, like, altar times are so great, because you can get that heart of God in his presence. But I think it's also cool, and I would want you to walk out tonight, especially looking at this passage and thinking of the reward that God gives to people who just do his will. Do his will. That there's a reward in serving God. God loves to reward us. That we get to be a part of this. You know, I think that's why I think when I James River Christmas, I think, praise you, God, that we get to do this. You know, praise you, God, that we get to be a part of a church that's reaching people. Praise you, God, that, and I think that changes the way when you see the world in the sense of God rewarding you, that changes the way you look at the opportunities God's given you. Because none of this, I hope that you catch the spirit of that, none of this is like, hey, get out there and reach people because that's the right thing to do. Although that is true. But God does it like this. Hey, my heart is for people, and I just want you to be a part of what I'm doing because I want to bless you and I want to bless them. And what joy. You get the joy of like, hey, I've already planted seeds, but you get the joy of harvesting that. And then you get eternal benefit for that. And you get to do this. And I get to do this. And you get to watch me work in people's lives. And they get to go to heaven for eternity. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And if you just step into what I'm doing and take your eyes off of what's going on in your world for a moment and say, God, what are you doing? How can I be a part of it? That I'm going to bless your life. And that's the exciting thing about just serving God, just getting in his presence. You want a little excitement in your life to say, God, I want to be where you're at. I just want to be where you're at. God, I don't want to get caught up. You know, as thinking about this, I was thinking about that scripture where the farmer scatters seed, Jesus says, and you know, some seeds falls on good soil and it reaps a harvest of 100-fold. Some seed falls where there's weeds and there's thorns. And it says that those are the worries and cares of this life, the desires of the world, the love of money, the cares of this life kind of choke out the fruitfulness. It doesn't kill the plant, it just chokes out the fruitfulness. And it's because your eyes get on something else other than what God would have for you. And so you start focusing on that rather than focusing on the one thing that God's heart's for, and that's for reaching people. But God says, you know what, you put your priorities there. And it's not just like the satisfaction of, okay, I'm doing the right thing for God, but it's the joy of knowing, wow, God's blessing me, and wow, that person's gonna be in heaven, and wow, I can't believe I get to do this. You know, that's a powerful thing when you move from the have to the get to. And that's really where God wants us to live as believers. And that all starts just by being in his presence and saying, God, I know people who don't know you. God, I pray that you'd open up doors. I pray that you'd use me. I pray that I would reflect your heart. I pray that people would sense your heart on me. That starts in his presence.